heal of thee. I am that I am to all who believe. I am all things that you need, and even more. I'm more, 'cause I'm the overflow of your life. When you look at me, when you can see my glory, you'll catch the fire, the fire that burns without destroying. That fire will burn deep with my cleansing, says the Lord. So come, oh, come to my fire, that you would burn bright. Oh, come, catch the fire, catch the glory. Receive of the I am in your life. I will light you for the world to see my glory. I will burn away all the chaff that remains, and my fire will fill you full to the brim. 'Cause all you have is found in me. I long to fill my children. Oh, I long to fill my people with my grace, with my power and sufficiency. Oh, thank you, Lord. Come and drink. Come and drink, says the Lord. Come and drink, for my fountain is overflowing. Drink the waters of life. Drink the waters that flow from my side. Drink my water. Couple minutes today. And I know we've got food next door, so I'm not going to keep you real long, but we'll just see how this goes. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to Luke 18:8. Go to Luke 18:8. This is the foundation verse for living faith. And I thought I'd just interrupt a little bit and go back to our foundation verse for the church. But Luke 18:8 says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he finally find faith on the earth? That is the question. Will God find faith on the earth? And God gave me that scripture when we were thinking about starting the church, and he gave me that, and he said, call yourself living faith as a proclamation that when Jesus returns, he will find a living faith on the earth. That's the reason for our name and fellowship, because there's people, you know, but living faith. Let's go back and read all of this to get this in context. Luke 18, starting in verse 1. Then Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her or do justice for her, lest by her continual coming she weary me or just wear me out. Then the Lord said, now that's the parable. Okay, that's the parable. This is a setting that Jesus is using. Then verse 6, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he, God, will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Several things in this. The first thing is Jesus is coming back. You know, a lot of Christians don't believe that today. The world mocks at that belief, but Jesus is coming back because he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Well, he's already there, so he's not talking about this coming. He's talking about what we call the second coming. Now go to 2 Peter. Keep your place there because we're coming back. But go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and I want to look at verses 3 through 7. It's kind of picking up in the middle of a thought, but we're not concerned so much with what comes before this. But verse 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. It warns us there's going to be scoffers in the latter days. We all understand that. There's going to be people who doubt, people who question, people who stir up discontent, stir up all these things. But one of the curious things that they say is all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation, meaning nothing has changed. Everything's the same. Now, I'll just say this, but that's why so many people believe in millions and millions and of years, because all things continue as they always have been, and so they have to deny certain things about that to believe that. And there's three things that they scoff at. They scoff at that Yahweh created everything by his word. They scoff at Noah's flood, and they scoff that the heavens and the earth are preserved for judgment and destruction of ungodly men. See, they don't believe in a judgment. They don't believe in an ultimate judgment. I can do what I want, and it doesn't matter. And you see a lot of the world, that's exactly the attitude that they have today. They scoff at Noah's flood. How could there be a worldwide flood? You know, it's interesting that they're looking at Mars right now, and they say there's evidences on Mars of a global flood. There's no water, but at one time they're believing that the whole entire surface of Mars was covered with water, but they can't believe it about Earth, who's, I think, is 70% covered with water. Mars, they can't find any water, but they talk about a global flood. Earth is 70% water. Nah, there never was a global flood. But we find seashells on the top of Mount Everest. Isn't it amazing? But things have always been and always will continue as they've always been. There's never really been any significant change of anything. Now let me say this as we get into things. Scoffers believe that nothing changes. Nothing changes. You are who your genetic code says you are, because nothing changes. We heard the other day through some friends of ours that they've got a family member that's been convicted of sexual offense, and he's out and he's in a rehab center, and a Christian rehab center, but the state requires him to go to state counseling. They got in their counseling session last week, and the state counselor told him, "You're always going to be a pervert. You're never going to be anything else, and that's just the way it's always going to be." Why? Because nothing changes. They do not believe in change. They look, in the practical sense, they look at global warming and say, "Wow, it's been warming over the last 100 years. It's warmer than it's ever been on the face of the earth. So it's always going to continue to warm, and we're going to melt all the glaciers, and in 2,000 to 3,000 years, we'll be 216 feet, or the sea level will be 216 feet higher than what it is today. Well, do you have evidence of that? No, but it's going to happen. Well, why is it happening? Because nothing ever changes, because temperatures are rising. And then they found out the other day, they knew about it, but for 17 years there's been no global increase in temperature. Well, then I guess we can extrapolate, says, since nothing ever changes, we'll always be the same, we don't have to worry about it. You can look at the summer and say, well, nothing ever changes. So don't think there's going to be any snow this winter, because it's summertime now and the sun's bright out and shining. Because nothing ever changes. Or if they would look out the window in the winter with 2 feet of snow on the ground, they say, we're coming into an ice age because nothing ever changes, because it snowed yesterday and it's going to snow tomorrow, because nothing ever changes. And we say, well, Gordon, that's stupid. But that's what they do. They try to project what they know today into the future and try to predict the future on what they know today. Even though we know at one time, before mankind had any industrial revolution, that the earth was a whole lot warmer than what it is today, because they were farming up in Greenland. They were growing vines up in northern England, which require warm weather. They found Vikings as the glaciers melt off of, have melted. They're coming back now already in Greenland, but as some of the glaciers were melting in Greenland, they found major, major Viking settlements that they said never existed. They found cattle, they found wheat fields, they found crops, fields cleared for crops and for planting. They said, we never expected to find this. Why? Because Greenland has, in our knowledge, has always been covered with ice. And it was always a joke. Yeah, they call Iceland, which is now green, you know, it's named Iceland, and Greenland, that is now covered with ice, they call Greenland. It's like, well, why? Because things have changed. Things are not always the same. Now, when they apply this to you, well, you're a sinner, you're always going to sin because nothing changes. There's no hope for you because nothing ever changes. You're sick, you're going to continue to be sick, you're going to die. Why? Because nothing ever changes. Once you're diagnosed, you cannot expect to be healed because nothing ever changes. And in the midst of this, Jesus says, when the Son of Man returns, comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Now see, this is how the world believes. This is the outlook of things. You know, everything's going towards socialism. Just get used to it, because that's the way it's happening. Why? Because nothing ever changes. We're going to get into this on Sunday morning one of these years. But there's a new study that's out saying that the American movement is an apparition of prosperity and freedom. They said it's one of the worst things that could ever happen on the globe. This is an official study from a bunch of collegiates. That freedom and prosperity in America is the worst thing that has ever happened in the world, because it is going a different direction than the history of the world, which is always despotism, which is always poverty. And so for America to have wealth and have freedom is really giving a false hope to people that they could be free and they could have success. This is how the world thinks. And when you talk about being set free, they look at you and say, these people believe in dreams. Well, dreams change things. Edison had a dream of a light bulb. It changed the world. Somebody had a dream of electricity. It changed the world. Somebody had a dream of farming and planting food instead of starving and watching their neighbors die in the winter, and it succeeded. People had dreams, and without dreams, you'd never produce anything. And the world would tell you, you're just the way that you are, honey. Get used to it, because you cannot change who you are. And to some degree, they're right. But God can change us, amen. And God can change our future if we will believe in him, amen. Okay, go back to Luke 18. Now, it says, Jesus is asking a question, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? I got to find Luke 18 again. Yes, we do hope he does find faith in the earth. Let's look at this and break it down just a little bit. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Well, how can we please God if we don't believe in him? If Jesus is going to find faith in the earth, then someone has got to believe in Jesus Christ, or there will be no faith in the earth. Amen? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We talked about that a little bit this morning. It comes through rhema. It comes through a revelation of God. And when you get that revelation, I can change. I can be something different. I don't have to stay where I am in my station in life for the rest of my life. I can move up the ladder. I can be engaged in society. I can make a difference. Well, that's because you got a rhema. Now, if we scoff at Yahweh, we are scoffing at his word, because John tells us that Jesus is the word of God become flesh. So if we scoff at what Yahweh says, we're scoffing at God, we're scoffing at his word, saying that what always has, the circumstances are greater than the power of God. Now, the second thing that that is revealed in this is Jesus is speaking about faith and persistence. I'll take you here and let's look at this. Verse 1 says, he spoke to them a parable that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So, well, he's talking about prayer. Well, yeah, he's talking about prayer, but prayer without faith is useless. It won't do anything. Prayer, if we take the prayer as being, prayer is just simply speaking with God, well then, prayer is speaking with God in faith. Amen? It's having a conversation with God in faith. Now, Jesus is speaking in this parable to make a point. A parable is just a story. And the point is that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Not lose heart. How many of you have prayed and after it didn't come to pass, maybe in 5 minutes, maybe in 10 minutes, maybe in 24 hours, maybe in 2 or 3 days, maybe a week, a month, a year, you gave up? And you succumb that, well, this must be the will of God. And what you're actually doing is you're agreeing with the world, nothing ever changes. You're saying, I can't change. My situation can't change. My predicament cannot change. Well, see, he's saying here, we need to pray, but not lose heart. Now, the illustration is a widow. A widow is someone who has no one to support them. A widow is someone that they're not married. And back in those days, if you weren't married, you had no means of support. That means you had to depend on family. And a widow technically was someone that didn't even have family to take care of them. So this is a person that has no visible means of support. There's a widow and an unjust judge. Now, a judge is a ruler of the land, a significant, a dignitary, someone who has responsibility and authority. But it's an unjust judge. Now, a lot of people will say, well, see, this is a parable about how we need to pray to God. God is not the unjust judge. If you see God as the unjust judge in this, you've already missed the point of the story, because you're saying we've got to go and beg God, and we've got to be a nuisance to God, and we've got to push to God, and we've got to shove to God, and we've got to do all these things to try to convince God to hear us, and that is not the case. So here's an unjust judge, and this unjust judge winds up granting the widow justice because of her persistence. I like the Old Testament word, the King James word, importunity. I just like the sound of it, importunity. Because of her importunity, the judge said, I'm going to give her what she wants. In other words, she just never quit. She just never gave up. You will give me justice. You will give me justice. She didn't do it for a month or a week or a year. You will give me justice. And finally, even the unjust judge says, just to get her off my back, I'm going to give her what she wants. It's not because she had favor with him. She was an irritant to him. And he said, this is the only way I can get rid of her, so I'll give her what she wants. Now, this is not a lesson on how to be an irritant. Okay, I want to make that straight. Then Jesus comments on it in verse 6. He's drawing a comparison between the unjust judge and Yahweh. He says, hear what the unjust judge said. Now this, the next verse is not what the unjust judge said, because we've just heard what he said. This is Jesus' take on the parable. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? In other words, the unjust judge, you had to beg and beg and beg and plead and persist and wear him down. Is God like that? He goes, no, because God will avenge his own elect. If the unjust judge will finally give place to this woman's cry, God will do it even quicker. Now, we know that today because God is on our side. Amen. We know that God is for those who are for him. Amen? So he says, shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Now I started thinking about that, he bears long with them. That is not because of the persistence of us continually coming to God. That's because of our sin. That's because of our non-belief. That's because of our conduct of life, even though he bears long with us. You know, when will the Son of Man find faith? Who's going to come? Is there anyone who believes? Is there anyone who will trust me? These are the things God is bearing long with. And even though he bears long with our unbelief, when we believe, he moves speedily to our behalf. Amen? This is talking about our condition, not God's. What he bears with is our stubbornness, our lack of faith, our lack of prayer, our lack of coming to God, our lack of importunity. Our lack of persistence in the things that we believe. I've said for years, charismatics can believe anything for 5 minutes. 6 minutes comes, we start doubting. Well, I guess that must not be God's will. Well, if you want to know God's will, don't base it on your prayers, whether they've been answered or not. Base it on the Word of God. Because God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know as well as I do, you can change your mind about anything in about 30 seconds. God does not change his mind. He is the same yesterday, today, and think about it, forever. Forever. I haven't been anyway forever. Sometimes I'm not the same way yesterday that I am today or today. You know, I change. You know, I don't always like it, but I do. You know, there's things I would like to do I don't do anymore because it takes longer to recover. Hello. So we call it wisdom. Anyway, we won't go there. Amen. But we've got to understand this unjust judge is not God. God wants to avenge us speedily. He wants to give us the answers. He's not delaying. He's not putting us off. Yet even with this difference between the world and Yahweh, it's amazing that we will tolerate the ways of the world under unjust judges. We will put up, now think about it, we will put up with an unjust judge that we know is unjust longer than we will tolerate God, who may not answer our prayers as quick as we would like them to be. If we would get upset with unjust judges as quick as Christians get upset with God because we didn't get our way, we wouldn't have unjust judges, would we? They'd all be thrown out of office. We would carry torches down there. We would do whatever it took and get that bozo out of office because, bless God, you're unjust. But we treat God that way. We will turn our back and walk away from God because you didn't get your prayer answered when you thought and how you thought God ought to do it. Well, faith is not getting it answered the way you want, but letting God work it out. Amen. It's his will, not your will, that God wants to impose. So think about that. It's like this, he's drawing a comparison. This is how the unjust judge does it. This is how the world judges it, but this is how God responds to these same issues. God answers speedily. Amen. Because I know sometimes it's like, but I've been believing this for years, but God is speedily. It goes on to say, but one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. God is outside of time. That's what it's trying to say. Time is not an objective to God. It is not an issue. I've seen a man's leg be healed in 24 hours. I've seen a woman be set free from a deadly disease. We've seen ankles heal that the doctor said they're going to have to pin and do all that. We've seen out miracles in this congregation. So the doctors are just amazed. And it doesn't seem to leave an imprint. I'll use Butch for an example. God gave him a new heart several years ago. A new heart. He had heart failure, congestive heart failure. The doctors told him there's not a whole lot longer for you. And he came forward in prayer one day when God was with us. And Roxanne laid hands on him. And he went to the doctor, a couple weeks later or something, and said, you've got a different heart. This isn't the one we've been looking at. It's not diseased. It's not, a new heart. Can you imagine that? A new heart? Go, oh, well, that's just Butch. No, that's Butch with a new heart. Every time I see him, I think of that. Every time I see him, God gave this man a new heart every single time. Praise be to God. How do you do that? Well, in the world, it'd be a lot different. And he'd have to be taking drugs to not reject the heart and all this. God just gave him a new heart. It genetically fit. Why? Because that's God. Can you imagine God putting a new heart in somebody that he has to take drugs for the rest of his life so his body won't reject it? God's a good God. He puts in a right heart that's genetically compatible because it's God that does it. See, it's not outside of time. How long would it take Butch to grow a new heart? Well, if things always remain as they've always been, he couldn't. But God did what we call a miracle and gave him a new heart. He's given most of us in this room a new life. A new life. Isn't that wonderful? A new life. Well, you'll just be the way you've always been. I've got a new life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Tough. Sorry for you that I'm not fulfilling your expectations. I don't care. I got a new life. I'm different. Get over it. Yeah, but I remember you when you... That's not me anymore. Yeah, but you used to always have a dirty mouth. Not anymore. Well, you used to like doing the drugs. Not anymore. Well, what's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with you. You got right. You know, we don't go to the drug addict and say, well, what's wrong with you? Oh, no. Can't do that. Not in a PC world. Can't do that in a PC world, but in a PC world, we can ask, how come you're right? I remember after I got sobered up and after I got to know the Lord in college, I'm at a drug party, and they had alcohol and drugs all around. And this one girl crawled over to me on her belly, you know, because I was sitting on the floor, and she pulls herself up and comes up in my face, you're having fun, aren't you? I go, yeah. Sure. She says, you're not on anything, are you? I said, no. She goes, I don't get it. Of course, she didn't get it. She hadn't found God. I got it. I'm having a good time. I was the guy that went to the parties and made sure everybody got home safe because no, they didn't know where they were. I can tell you some stories about that, too. Almost lost one guy. He jumped in a convertible with two or three girls. And they sped off, and I had to track him down. That's about a two-hour thrill trip to find him, get him back. Golly. But see, Jesus here isn't talking about just prayer. And we spend more time, now think about it, we spend more time complaining about God than we do, or let me put it this way, we spend more time complaining about the things of the world than we do seeking God. If we would seek God, now just keep a watch. Every time you watch the news and complain, okay, that's how much time you need to spend in prayer. Would that change your viewing habits? Mine too. It's like if we would really take this serious. But I would rather just sit and complain about the world and complain about it all going downhill than believe God and seek after him. Lord, what would you want me to do? You know, this may sound kind of harsh. It may even sound kind of radical. But if you're dealing with a major, well, it doesn't even have to be major. If you're dealing with an illness in your body, and you say, boy, I'm just believing God to heal me. What are you doing to fill your mind with God thoughts? Yeah. Are you reading healing scripture? Are you listening to healing tapes? I don't have time to listen to healing tapes. Well, if you've got a disease that could worsen, you've got time to listen to healing tapes. Hello? So, I'm believing God. But faith without works But we're believing God. I'm just trusting the Lord. Are you? I mean, I know we want to. I know we want to, but if there was a, if the bank called you up and said, you're $1,000 behind and you've got to raise $1,000 in 30 days, what would you do? You'd go out and raise $1,000, wouldn't you? Hopefully you would, rather than saying, I'm going to let the bank take my house. No, you would do something to come up with the money. Well, if you need healing, you've got to do something to put you in a position for healing. You know? But we don't do those things. We would rather complain about the unjust judge than spend that same time seeking God. And this is what the woman was doing. Jesus is showing us that this woman got her way because she would not relent, and even the unjust judge gave her what she wanted, but we don't pursue God the same way she pursued that judge. And then we wonder why God doesn't bless us more. Well, why doesn't God do more? Well, are you pursuing? Are you in pursuit? Jesus is not talking just about prayer. He's talking about faith and a belief in God. Again, remember, the world always thinks nothing ever changes, but God believes faith changes everything. And those are the options that are before us. Either nothing changes and you believe the way of the world, or you can believe God changes everything. In Habakkuk 2:4, it says, the just shall live by faith. In Matthew 5, don't turn there, I'll just read it to you. Matthew 5, Jesus in his first sermon begins to lay this principle out. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Again, Jesus is trying to lay out the principle to us. If we would spend as much time seeking God as we seek justice from an unjust world, God will answer us speedily, because we're pursuing after the things of God. He will not delay. He is not unjust. He will give us those things that we ask for. So are you hungry for God? Or have you just accepted your conditions? Do you believe God can make things better? Or do you believe your life is going to be where it is now in the next 10 years? We need to lift up our heads. That's what God told Abraham. Lift up your head and look around. Look to the north, the south, the east, and west. Everything you can see, I'll give it to you. If you can see it, you can have it. If you believe it and speak it, you can have those things that you request from God. Wow. Well, I just don't understand how that's possible. Take it up with God. I didn't say that stuff. Don't be mad at the messenger, because that's what Israel did. But seek after God. Why? He doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus here is with our foundational verse for the church. When he comes, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I want to say yes. I want to say yes, he will find faith in the earth. But that's dependent upon us, not him. Do we choose to believe, or do we just simply accept the way that the world is and say, well, there's nothing that can be done about it, and that's all? We choose to believe God. We choose to follow after him. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, I know before we go into the next room, they're probably going to ask us to pray. So I'm going to pray now for the meal, and we invite you to stay. Even if you didn't plan, we invite you to stay with us for lunch. I think they might have enough over there for us. So we'll just plan for that. Amen. So you're invited. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've given us faith. I thank you, Father, faith is a gift that you have given to us. Father, we can believe in you, that you've given us that capacity to trust you, to know you, God, to spend time with you. You've given us that ability, Father, to know who you are, to walk with you, to be with you, and for you to be with us. And Father, we thank you for this wonderful gift of salvation, this wonderful gift of being born again, Father. We thank you, God. We believe things change. We believe, God, that you change things that your kingdom would come in the earth and in our lives. We praise you and thank you for this. Father, I just pray for our hearts, God, that we would commit more deeply to you, be more hungry for you, God, that you would create a dissatisfaction in us, Father, a godly dissatisfaction, that we would reach out to you more and more. Father, I ask you to bless our meal together that we're getting ready to share. And Father, you would bless our fellowship and our time for it. Lord, bless those who have planned this and have put everything together. And Lord, let a blessing come back upon them as we enjoy the fruits of their labor. Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor. We recognize Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I think they'll probably go ahead and have us go out this door. So Debbie and I are going to stand up here and greet all of you as you exit to the next room.